welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Bickle. On today's show, we have a bit of a different type of show today. Instead of talking about things that we're doing and things that we're going to be doing, we're going to be looking into the past, into the history, and specifically history of zoos in Des Moines. And with us today, we have Steve Nelson Vaux. And he is, not only is he a volunteer with the Des Moines Parks and Recreation Department, but he's also a library explorer and vintage prospector. And so welcome to the show, Steve.
Well, thank you very much. I'm mighty, mighty glad to be here.
So let me give you a little bit of history of the zoo as I know it. I've been with Blank Park Zoo over 10 years, and the zoo started in 1963. With a gift from A.H. Blank to buy the land, part of the Fort Des Moines area. And in 1966, May 8th of 1966, they opened up the Des Moines Children's Zoo. And the Des Moines Children's Zoo had a variety of domestic animals. And eventually they got in some lions, and there was an elephant, and so a little bit more exotic animals as they went along, but it was popular at first, but with certain cutbacks and lack of funds by the 80s, the zoo had run down, and it closed in, I think, at the end of the 1981 season, and between 81 and 85, they completely rebuilt the zoo and opened it in 1986 as Blank Park Zoo. And so pretty much the zoo was completely rebuilt in those years, and it's sort of the zoo you see today. Of course, we've added on, and the past 5 or 6 years, we've put in quite a bit of money rebuilding that zoo that was done in the 80s. So since the time that we have reopened in 1986, we became an accredited zoo. Which means we have high standards for our animals and take care of our animals correctly. And we have an education program and every 5 years, and this year is going to be one of them. Inspectors come from the Association of Zoos and Aquariums and make sure we're doing things correctly and give us advice of where we should be headed and if we have stable financials and that sort of thing. So that's just a little bit about what I know about the zoo. Of course, everybody hears stories about Bob Elgin, one of the original zoo directors, and before he passed away, I got to interview him, and he was an interesting guy, and just how he had to make do with what he had and make it work, and a lot of stories about how things were different back then than they are today, and things that we can't do anymore or don't want to do anymore because the professional standards have changed so much in zoos. So that's the history of the zoo I know of. And when you go back and look, even online, it's hard to find anything about was there a zoo in Des Moines beforehand. A few weeks ago on the show, we were speaking with Joe Van Ruckel from the Parks Department. And he was saying, yeah, there was a zoo, and there's a guy that knows all about different zoos that were in Des Moines before Blank Park Zoo and the Des Moines Children's Zoo. So, Steve, tell us, first of all, a little bit about yourself and maybe your interest in history.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, very interesting, actually. Thank you for that introduction to the zoo. I am researching history, which starts, I tend to start at the beginning, so you know much more about where I want to end up with the history of Blank Park. But I grew up in southern Minnesota and never really pursued any interests in history. Only recently have I gotten involved because of meeting Callie at the Parks Department. We were volunteering at the greenhouses, and she asked a question after we had talked a little bit about interest. She asked a question about a history of one of the zoos that she had to do a talk about, and that opened up the enormous path that has blossomed in front of me 3 years ago. I'm now working on gathering information not only on the zoos, but the anything related to the open spaces or the use of public lands in Des Moines, and expanding a little bit to Southeast Polk. I become more aware of my interest in history, or the fact that I had done some history of my hometown in southern Minnesota. Never knew I'd end up living in Iowa, but being part of the Midwest, and we like Des Moines, the mosquitoes are much smaller and fewer down here than they are in Minnesota. So I came here in the 70s after I got out of the Air Force to visit some college friends, and I ended up staying. For 23 years, I did work at a manufacturing job, engineering support, and production support for a manufacturing company, which is where I was smart enough to pick up enough computer skills. Since I'm in my 70s, all of my world was pre-computer. And now I've learned how to do research, and it's paying off. We are fortunate now that we can do research. Newspapers.com is an amazing resource. Most of the Parks Department history, a lot of it comes from a friend of mine that I never really knew how much he had done in the mid-90s and in a little later still does. His name is John Zeller. He's kind of Des Moines' de facto historian. He helps. He's written a lot of newspaper articles, and Drake University has stuff of his online. And he's published or gathered hundreds and hundreds of newspaper clippings by viewing them on microfilm and copying them and collating them into books. And the Parks Department has his efforts. And I'm using those sort of like the bricks to build a story, a narrative out of, making it complete. That's part of what I'm here with today, is because of the research that John Zeller did early on.
Really, the way I understand it is that the story of zoos in Des Moines really starts with parks and public spaces. Could you tell us about that?
A public space is any social space that's generally open and accessible, like roads and riverfronts and beaches, public squares and parks. It's an open space like this zoo. Yeah. In the earliest times, those would have been the village commons, churchyards, the city or county courthouse grounds, and recently malls. Even though they're privately owned, they're considered a public space.
Right.
So the county courthouse in Des Moines and the city areas were the first parks. They didn't have, for 60-plus years, they didn't have any money. They didn't have any ability to establish set-aside acres for parkland. The first people that were here didn't really care because they were essentially living in a park or a modified wilderness. The early stories of people who came here and could fish enormous large amounts of fish in the Des Moines River during the noon hour, or Four Mile Creek had fish in it, and they could go hunting within the city limits of what became Des Moines. They literally carved out a life for themselves in this sort of natural park that had been kind of maintained and kept healthy by the original native population, because they knew they were one with the environment here. They pretty much saw it was not in their best interest to kill all of a species. It was not in their best interest to take only the healthy specimens of a deer herd. They pretty much took what they needed to survive, and that was about it. And for me, one of the main purposes for human life should be to make the world better for all beings everywhere, and that includes animals and habitat as beings. And the Native Americans, Native populations generally were also considering the future, which is another thing, to make the world better for the future. So part of looking to the future, like the zoo, has to do becoming better. You mentioned how times change. And if we don't know, if we don't remember the past, if we can't look back and see what went wrong, we sometimes don't know how to make it a better world for us and the rest of the world.
Let's zoom forward to, okay, Des Moines has been established as a city.
Right.
And we're starting to get some development. Tell us about, I read about T.E. Brown, and what did he do?
Very good. Yeah. 1840s, 50s, 60s, 70s, they had the Civil War to deal with. They didn't have any money anyway. Some inspired people like Wesley Redhead, who was the main coal miner, made a bunch of money just up here on Southwest 9th. He had a coal mine, and he donated land on the east side that we know of as Redhead Park. But the city didn't even have any money to maintain parks. So they still were starting to recognize, because of the crowded city, the town of Des Moines, people needed to get out of it. They didn't have transportation very much, but they still looked for experience of nature, fresh air. The town was smelly with coal and wood smoke, so the opportunity to get out into the natural settings became obvious to money-making people, that they could perhaps provide a venue where people could picnic and have large get-togethers. T.E. Brown was one of the first. He purchased land near, or it is what we know as Greenwood Park. There was a small village named Greenwood out on Ingersoll and Grand, and one of his major projects was to cultivate spaces within the woodland where they actually could have concerts. He did the lake. They would dam up enough with the natural springs. They would actually drill down into the earth and get the and use that natural spring water to fill the lakes. So they could have picnics and get-togethers. He then added animals. In 1880, 250 birds and animals. He had deer, quote, a number of monkeys, and announced that soon to come from Central Park in New York City, he had purchased a large boa constrictor, quote. That was in 1880, as I said, and at that time, they claimed Browns Park Zoo was, quote, the only one in the state and on the finest park grounds in the West. Eventually, there were 100 acres there that became an amusement park, special parades. They recreated war battles since they had just come out of the Civil War, and I think Spanish-American. They called them sham battles. They had fireworks. There was an amphitheater or band shell sort of thing for speeches and circus-type performances they would bring in. Traveling circuses were quite common. The full name of that venture became Browns Park and Zoological Gardens. And in its latter days, it was claimed there were 5,000, quote, 5,000 rare curiosities and a complete menagerie. And for some days, it would be open and free to the public. So he's sort of the first. In the 1890s, when the city finally did get money, they purchased this almost ready to go. It was, a turnkey? He had done such a good job that the city looked at it and said, we're going to pay him his price and we don't have to worry about nothing. He had done a really good job. Competing with him, or coincidentally at that time, there was another zoo up on the north side, much smaller. It was a little neighborhood zoo. J.J. Ryman, it is quoted, quietly collecting some rare specimens for his part of the town. That was on 7th Street in Prospect Park, which is north of the current Broadlawns Hospital. There he kept, quote, a 6-foot elephant called a fine specimen and something of a novelty for Des Moines. It had been raised in Chicago, and the newspaper reported that children play all about him on the lawn, where it will be kept during the summer without the least fear of harm. And I wondered how harm to the elephant or harm to the children was not really made clear. I assume children is all they were worried about. But another thing that helped these enterprises in the growing city, people had no transportation. They usually walked everywhere. You could hardly afford to have horses. Carriages were expensive. So they worried about things being too far out. Every time they were proposing something, and Greenwood Park was too far out. At that time, 4 miles to 5 miles was considered too far. But the beauty of it being that far away was that it gave the recreation people needed. And along with that, other money-making people, whose last name is Polk, not Polk County, but Polk Street, other private enterprise people came along and said, let's make streetcar services, and the railroad trains would stop out there, and they would promote the two. They would work cooperatively. They would do events. They had a turnaround of streetcar right at Greenwood, so you could take the public transportation to Greenwood. Moving ahead on the north side, the next really big one that's quite famous or quite well known, there's a lot of information online on this one. It was called the Des Moines Zoological Gardens. It was north of downtown and across the river. That was started by L.M. Mann, M-A-N-N. It was developed as a destination area off 6th Street. It's right where what we know of now as Riverview and McHenry Park. That had been a small village called North Des Moines. It was soon incorporated into the larger city and pretty much became the Highland Park neighborhood that we know of. Streetcars were integral in that as well. His 1889 report to the newspaper, the Iowa State Register, announced he was expecting a railroad car load consisting of one elephant, three African and one Asiatic lions, they were all females, one black African leopard, a rare species, one royal Bengal tiger, said to be one of the finest specimens in America, a large number of monkeys of different species and other smaller animals and birds. The elephant was imported to America by P.T. Barnum when a baby and is now about 7 years old, has been in the World's Museum in Boston. It's a great favorite with ladies and children. It will eat all kinds of fruits, nuts, and candy from the hands of the visitors and is quite docile. Its sex is female. They are considered the most tractable, unquote. He traveled to Boston again and purchased those original animals he had purchased from an institution that was going out of business. He paid $5,000 for the animals, paid for shipping, and established this zoological gardens near what we know of as Riverview. And $5,000, if you do the inflation conversion, is about $150,000 in today's money. Still unopened, he brought in a cinnamon bear, two cub bears, some Samson foxes, seven elks, including a brace of babies were those, cranes, Muscovy ducks, wild geese, flying squirrels, etc., etc., unquote. And he had on order, quote, seven deer and two buffaloes. The opening was July 4th, 1889. To gain entrance, it cost 25 cents for adults. Children from 6 to 12 were 15 cents, and under 6, free. 25 cents then is about the same as $7 in today's money. Later on, the Electric Railway Company would charge 25 cents for a round trip from Des Moines, and that included admission into the zoo. So that worked out very well for both of them. 2 years later, the admission was down to 15 cents for adults, 10 cents for children, and vehicles, it says. I'm not sure what they were in 1889. Vehicles for 10 cents, probably the carriages, provide parking. Uh-huh. He had two partners. They sold the project of 60 acres to, quote, a party of capitalists. became known as the Zoological Park Company, had 13 investors, a capital stock of $200,000, which is about $6 million today. And they promised the public there's going to be constant additions to the attractions. The grounds will be further beautified and improved. The park will hereafter be open to the public Sunday afternoons. And they promised perfect order will be observed. So here is what happened. Private enterprise stepped up, saw the need, and they did well. A year later, they added two kangaroos with a baby that had been purchased from a well-known traveling circus menagerie from the East Coast. They added eight little wolves, a grizzly bear, and other interesting members of the quadruped kingdom, unquote. In the early days, the attendance was often over 1,000 people a day in the week. When Sunday opened up, 2,000 people attended, quote, and drank in the fresh air and otherwise enjoyed themselves. Newspapers then reported the Sunday opening was the one thing useful to popularize this open-air resort. 50 years, Des Moines didn't have any set-aside land for parks. The obvious need arose. Mid-1890s, they finally had enough money they could actually step in and purchase some land. The first parks they bought, as I mentioned, Greenwood, they didn't have to do much with. Grandview, Waveland, and Union. Deciding what to do with each park then took a lot of time and planning and thought from many citizens, and understandably that's a process that continues today. 125 years later, we're still doing this. Our Parks Department is now interviewing people and asking, well, you know, what direction do we want to go with some of that. The city, as I mentioned, they had been criticized for all the things being too far from downtown Des Moines, 4 to 5 miles, but they were not thinking of a wider area, the rest of Polk County, or the value of being out at Greenwood. People that lived in West Des Moines could eventually benefit from Greenwood, and they were only thinking of the town itself. So the first parks, they did have open land the animals used. Greenwood had the State Fair, Iowa State Fair, before the East Side location. State Fair was held in that vicinity of Greenwood. He had a T.E. Brown also had an entertainment venue named Ingersoll Park. Grandview was a very beautiful natural park. It was called a natural park with ravines then draining into Four Mile Creek, and it lent itself immediately to human habitat and a zoo. I'm now trying to decide, as I said, trying to find out what where the animals came from, the very first animals. We used to buy possums. We used to buy raccoons. Yeah. The city would blending the newspaper stories about what happened and where with the details I'm able to find in the parks records. We can put together a history of how we got to where we are.
There were four main parks. Right?
They were the first four, yes.
The first four. Did they all have a zoological component in it?
At first, yes. At first, okay. They did. Now, a little different, yeah. Some of the animals were there, like at Waveland. They had elk paddock, and they had goats, herds of goats. And we have photographs of those times and the animals that were there. They were utilized, the elk it would browse through the woods, and the goats were there to help maintain. They didn't have lawnmowers as such. They didn't, helped maintain the parkland. And then the Parks Department could also sell excess animals make money. They had to raise some money. Greenwood was a similar thing. They had deer and other things. The Grandview became the consolidated park After a while, they decided we shouldn't, you know, let's make a better effort if we consolidate it. And there were bears, and there's some interesting stuff that I haven't quite written complete there. One of the bears got away and was running around on the east side of Des Moines up by Grandview.
And so when did that sort of phase out? When did they sort of stop doing that at Grandview?
That's in the mid-20s, I think, 1920s, 30s. They changed directions in the 30s. A lot of, as you mentioned, cutbacks of money. Every so often there have been, we get a lot of money and then no money, sort of like.
Right.
So, but the city's first parks were at the 1890s into 1900, and then they struggled with that. And the Parks Department actually went through two different structure changes before they got it all ironed out into what we utilize today. But as far as I'm going to pinpoint that, my next part of the research is to find out how Grandview as a zoo died or changed completely. And then the transition into the city did have quite a zoo in the 20s and 30s, but I haven't gotten the details all down on that yet.
Don't know where that is.
Other than Grandview, that's the only place I know it was.
And then there probably wasn't anything between that and 63,
That's what
right?
I'm guessing. Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm guessing. And then when Mr. Blank, what did you say his name was?
A.H. Blank.
Yeah, he came along. Yeah. And I'm so that's why I need – part of the – the fun part of this is Mr. Mann was a very complicated person, and T.E. Brown, we also have a legacy of his, the Brown's Woods that still exists over across the river from Valley Junction. Same family, same people. And the same processes that were working then, we now have county soccer and softball fields, and the people get their names hung on them. That's what the other thing. I'm fascinated to do the research because all of our streets and parks and the names of, we recognize most of these people because we've utilized their money and their names over time. So
sure. Well, thanks so much for looking into the past, because you know, if you do a little search in the past without actually doing the research, you don't find a whole lot about zoos before 1963.
Embarrassingly not. I agree. Yeah, you said it to be. I know. That surprised me.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much again. If you want to learn more about Blank Park Zoo, you can head over to our website, blankparkzoo.com. And, you know, we have a whole bunch of conservation information about saving animals and our Plant Grow Fly initiative about saving the pollinators and bringing them back to Iowa, the monarch butterfly, and how you can plant a butterfly garden to encourage that. So head on over to blankparkzoo.com and learn about that. You can also learn about our hours and our events coming up. And, well, that's all the time we have for today. So join us next time for Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.